And let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day you gave us. Lord, you're the one that's given life and breath to us. Lord, we realize that without you, Lord, we are completely lost. We have no compass. We have no direction. We have no purpose. But God, you created us with purpose. You created us for such a time as this. It was your plan, God, that we would be here for such a time as this. And God, we are here because we want to hear from you today. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask you right now to reveal to us the heart, the will of the Father. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated if you'd like. Title of today's message is Staying on the Right Path. Staying on the right path. There are many roads, many paths, many detours. There's a lot of confusion in our world today. Would you say amen? Amen. And God doesn't want his people confused. And it's only the truth that's going to keep you straight, all right? It's going to deliver you from the confusion. And the Lord's word is that truth, isn't it? When God speaks something, he always speaks the truth. He speaks the truth, but he speaks the truth in love. Amen? Because he loves, he speaks truthfully to us. Amen. There are people who will speak truth to you, but with an agenda to manipulate or control you. But when God speaks the truth, he speaks in love. Amen. Because he wants us to know, you know, who he really is, how much he really loves us, and who we are in him. Amen. So it's the truth that will set you free from the lies, from the deception of the enemy. And guys, you and I are incapable of really understanding the truth unless God would allow us to see. Would you agree with that? God, the Holy Spirit, is the one who reveals the truth to us. You cannot know it except that God would first show it to you. Amen. And we are not to use truth as a weapon against one another, but as a means of building up one another. So even when we hear a word that's convicting and it convicts us of a sin or of a failure or of a flaw, whatever, it's good for us, amen, because its purpose is to sometimes dismantle some strongholds or some ideas in our heads, amen, that are not in agreement with God's will or God's word. And so God's word is like a surgical instrument. It's a two-edged sword, amen, and it will cut out the things that are not good in our lives. And sometimes, if you've ever been in surgery, surgery is a painful thing, right? But sometimes that pain is necessary in order for you to become healthy. Amen? So we need to understand that God's word sometimes is going to cut, but we need to be appreciative of the fact that God loves us enough to tell us the truth so that we can be free from the lies and the deception of our enemy, the devil. Amen? Now, God wants you to know what is truth because he wants you to be free indeed. He doesn't want you being controlled and manipulated through lies and through fear. And the enemy is using fear very effectively today to control people's actions. The devil likes slavery, you know. He wants us to bow down to him and he wants us to conform to his agenda or his narrative. And in Proverbs 14, verse 12, a very familiar passage, there is a way that seems what? Right to a man, but its end is the way of death. All of us have an opinion. All of us have a certain amount of understanding, but none of us know it all. Amen? Amen. And so we are in the process of growing and learning and discovering more and more of what is actually true. And what is actually true means what is authentic, what is real. Amen. We've been duped. We've been lied to. We've believed lies as if they were true. And we've gotten into trouble because we heard somebody speak and they spoke so eloquently and they seemed to know what they were talking about. And it actually seemed like the right thing when we first heard it. Ever heard something that seemed right at the time? And that's the way it is in our own understanding. You know, every man's ways are right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. It's the Lord, amen. It's the truth that will set you free even from your own delusion. Okay? None of us have all the knowledge. None of us have all the truth, amen. But we're, again, in the process of discovering what is authentic, what is real. Nobody wants to be faked out. And so often our lives are centered on what we want and not what God wants. the thing of self-denial is hostile to the selfish ambition, you know. It's hostile. The idea of denying myself is hostile to my soul man. My soul man does not want to deny himself, right? I want what I want, when I want it, and how I want it. And I want the biggest, I want the most, I want to be first. I want to be popular, I want to be famous, I want to be I. That's our human nature. Our human nature, we are born selfish. Children are selfish. Amen. Adults are selfish. Amen. And that's where the problem is really the problem is with me. And we have to come to the place where we realize that actually I'm the problem. Because we can become self-righteous and point the finger at everybody around us and say, well, if it wasn't for that person or that person, you know, but how about yourself? Have you ever taken a look at yourself? There's a song that was very popular in the 60s. I think it was in the 70s. Put your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. It says, take a look at yourself and you can look at others differently by putting your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. You know, and you think about it. It says, every time I look into the holy book, I want to tremble. You know, and it's the truth, though, that we need. I don't always appreciate, maybe as much as I should, the truth. Because sometimes it does sting. It does hurt. But it hurts so good. And people who love Jesus will love the truth. Why? Because he is the truth. He is the word that became flesh. So even though sometimes it's a hard word, it's good for me. And I know it's because God is caring for me, that he would tell me when I'm in error. We tell our children. Hopefully you do, right? When they're in error, when they're getting into trouble. You want to protect your child so you speak truthfully to your children. Because you want them to avoid, amen, the path of destruction. So if you look at the Lord Jesus, everything he did was for the Father. He always put the will of the Father first in his life, right? He put his Father's interests above his own interests. And again, often when we come to God, you know, it's for what we want, but not necessarily what he wants. And so when it comes to truth, it is really a truth war, isn't it, that we're engaged in here? It's for your mind. Who's going to captivate your mind and get your attention? And what are you going to believe? Because what you believe is going to determine what you receive, and what you receive will determine how you live your life. And how you live your life will determine what fruit you bear. Amen? Good or bad fruit. So many people believe truth is what they determine it to be. Naturally, we all believe truth is what we determine it to be. Would you say amen? Because I thought it must be true. How many would be honest enough to say that you believed a lie before? Okay. Is there such a thing as fake news? Uh-oh. Absolutely, right? So we tell our kids, don't take candy from what? From a stranger. Why do you tell them that? Because you care. You want to protect your child, right? And because they lack the ability to sense danger. And because we want them to have a successful life. So we teach our children certain principles. All right. Now, if you're not teaching your children principles, guess what? The world will. All right. The schools will raise your children for you. If you don't raise them at home and teach them what's right and wrong, they're going to discover that at school. Amen. And how many know the school system is usually not following the way of the Lord? The people that are educating your children, many of them are doing what they think is right in their own eyes. They're doing what seems to be right in their own eyes. Not that they're intentionally trying to pervert your children. Some are, but many of them, they just because they don't know any better. They're just going by what they naturally understand. And often because they've learned it from somebody else along the way. So we instruct our kids because we care. And you know, God instructed us again, because he wants us to be wise. True wisdom comes from the Lord. All right. And Proverbs 1:23, the Lord said this. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. God's saying, if you're willing to listen to me, I will pour out my spirit on you. I'll reveal the truth to you. I'll make my words known, he said, to you. But the first thing that we need to understand is that when God is telling us to change direction, when God is telling us to stop something or to do something, we need to be responsive to the voice of truth, the voice of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Because if you want to understand the words of God, you want to know what is true, then you have to have a humble heart. A humble heart is one that's willing to yield to the will of another. A humble heart is someone that's willing to submit themselves to God and say, God, you're always right. Your word is true. And God sees the heart, and God gives his grace to the humble. He will make his words known to us. He'll pour out his spirit upon the humble, the one who says, God, I know that I don't know everything. I know very little, as a matter of fact, but I want to learn and I want to grow and I want to know you. And so God will begin to reveal himself to the one who truly wants to know him. But God is saying, if you will turn at my rebuke, when I correct you, when you hear something that you know God is speaking to you about, he's convicting your heart about something, it's very important that you do not disregard the promptings of the Holy Spirit, that you do not resist the Spirit of God when he is dealing with your heart. Amen? Because when you resist the Spirit of God, it creates blindness. People are blind and not even aware that they're blind because they resist the Spirit of God. They don't receive the counsel of God. And the day comes when all of a sudden they're doing crazy things and thinking it's normal because of the blindness that's in them. See, God doesn't want us to walk around blind. God wants us to see. And the entrance of his word brings light. Where there's light, there's vision. Amen? You can see clearly. So he says, if you're willing to listen to me and obey me, then I will make my words known to you. Sometimes the reason why people cannot get or understand the word of God is because their heart is not in position to receive from God. Because they are rebelling in their heart against the truth. And God will not open up, amen, the eyes of a person who rejects the truth. But a person who is willing to receive the truth, receive the word of the Lord and cherish it. Amen. That's the person that God will pour his grace into and open their understanding that they may know him. That they may know his word. There is a way that seems right to a man. But in the end is the way of death. There are many people that are on their way to hell. There are people that sit in church week after week that are on their way to hell because they have rejected the Spirit of God. They have rejected the counsel of God. You see, if you reject the counsel of God, you're rejecting the Lord who is the Word. Are you hearing me today? You cannot say you love Jesus and not love his Word. When you reject the word of the Lord, you're rejecting the Lord of the word because he is the word. And so if we are building our lives on what we think is best and not on the truth, then Jesus was very clear about it. He says, that's what it means to build your house on sand. Matthew 7:24, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. In other words, the time is going to come when the winds will beat, the rains will come, amen, upon that house. And if a person continues to reject the will of God, the word of God, they resist the Spirit of God, there's going to come a time when they will collapse because they're not going to be able to stand against what's coming. Are you hearing me? And so God gives us the truth to protect us. He gives us His Word so we can be wise, so we can be discerning, so we can know what the devil is up to, amen, and what God is up to. Amen. So we can avoid hell, amen, and receive God. Hallelujah. My sheep, He said, hear My voice. I know them. They follow Me. And I give them what? Eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of My hand. Now, not anybody is capable of hearing God's voice. There's a lot of people that are doing crazy stuff and saying God told them to do it. Sometimes in the church. People saying crazy stuff, even saying stuff, right? And thinking that God told them to say that. I don't know. Sometimes God does have a personal word for you. But how are you going to know the difference if you don't already know the Lord in your heart and know what is true and have a relationship with the Holy Spirit? Because if somebody comes up and says, you know what, brother, I have a word for the Lord from you. And a lot of people have been shipwrecked in their faith because they're listening to somebody who claims to be a prophet that comes to them and says, I have a word from the Lord. It could be right out of the pit of hell. How are you going to know the difference except that you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit? Amen. And you have the word of truth in you. That compass. Because the enemy wants to distract you. He wants to detour you. He wants to get you derailed in your walk. You know, only those who are in Christ are able to hear the voice of Jesus. Amen. My sheep. You have to be part of His fold. You have to be born again. He didn't say you have to go to church. You have to take communion. You have to do these things. He says you must be born again first. Amen. And when you're born again, you should connect yourself to a fellowship, amen, of believers. Amen. We should gather together in the Lord's name, just like He told us to do. Amen. But it begins with being born again. You must become a new creation. He didn't say, I want to improve your life through a series of teachings. He says, I want you to surrender your life to Me. And that is the beginning place. Life begins at surrender. Life begins at death to self. When we come to the place where you say, I am done with my life, with my ways, and I want to follow the Lord in His ways. I am done with me, and I'm ready for Jesus. When you have come to that place, God sees your heart, that you're in a position now where He can pour His grace into you because you have been humbled. Some often through brokenness, through difficulties, people are brought to a place of repentance. Can you say amen? Amen. Do we realize I need God, amen, in my life? Hallelujah. But see, some people think that if I just do a lot of good things, that somehow I'm going to be able to earn credit. Or I'm going to have some priest come and pray me into heaven. You know, the Bible says nothing about this. There's only one high priest, amen, that can get you to heaven. And that's Jesus Christ. He is the great high priest, amen. Amen. And so you got to be born again. We follow the book, amen, and the author of the book. Hallelujah. So the reason why people are deceived is because they depend upon man to tell them what is true. I'm all for good preaching, amen. We need to be teaching one another, admonishing one another in the Lord, amen. But we need to have a personal relationship with Jesus, amen. We need to know His voice, and we need to be in the Word ourselves. How else are we going to know what God is really saying? Because there is a way that seems right unto a man. There are a lot of people that are flocking to certain churches, amen, that have great numbers of people because they're telling them things that seem right to them. And they're being deceived through doctrines of demons, self-centered gospels that focus on you and not on Christ. The gospel is all about Jesus. Jesus at the center. Amen. Jesus being Lord. Hallelujah. Of all. His kingdom come. His will be done on the earth. Hallelujah. We have the mind of Christ, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:16. For who has known the mind of the Lord? That He may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. Who's that? Those who are born again, receive the Spirit of the Lord. And God is only known to those who He chooses to reveal Himself. And I believe, guys, even as a believer, It's important that we keep a humble heart and humble attitude. I went to see a chiropractor the other day. I don't do it very often, but once in a while, I need a little adjustment. You know, hurts so good. But, you know, he's a Christian brother, and he just started opening up and pouring his heart out to me and stuff. And you know, he says, well, I assume you're a pastor and you know all these things. I said, listen, I'm teachable. You know what? I'm teachable. I don't know it all. And I appreciate the fact that you wanted to share something with me. Maybe I did know it, but I wasn't going to tell them anyways. Give them an opportunity to have an outlet, right? Hallelujah. Somebody comes up to you, they want to share the Lord with you. Just say, oh, I know that. Thank God that they're willing to share, all right? We need more and more people that are willing to open their mouth and share the truth with others. Amen. God wants you out of your shell. The church needs to come out of the closet. Somebody say amen. Amen. But people are normalizing insanity today. Why? Because they're living in darkness. Because, guys, that's us, you and I, without Christ. We think we know. To me, truth is this. Well, that may be your truth, but this is my truth. How many have said that before? Until I met the truth, Jesus Christ. Amen. And I said, man, I was insane and didn't even know it. I was out of my mind and didn't even know it. Hallelujah. Some of you may think I'm still out of my mind and don't know it. But God loves me and God's working on me. Truth is revealed supernaturally by the Holy Spirit. I don't care how smart you are, how many degrees you hold, whether you've been to seminary or not. There are people that go through all kinds of Bible training and seminary and that still don't know the Lord. Are you hearing me? Sometimes atheists come out of seminary. It's not about just getting more information. The information that we receive by the Holy Spirit is to reveal Christ to us so we may know Him and have a personal walk with Him and be a vessel for Him. Now, God wants to express His life through you and through me, amen, to this world. And so we have to be in a place where we're teachable and we're willing to learn. There's so much that we don't know. But what we do know, we can share with others. Be a faithful steward of what you already know. All right. Some people say, well, one of these days I've been in church for 20 years learning. One of these days I'll have enough knowledge to be able to share with somebody else. Why don't you start out with what you got right now? Start sharing with what you have now. Amen. Hallelujah. I've said this many times, but guys, what you give away, you don't lose. If God gives you something and you share it, you don't lose it. Give and it shall be given unto you. Amen. Ephesians 4:17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness and greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. What does it say? It says their hearts have been darkened. Why? Because when people either refuse the truth or have not been exposed to the truth, then they're in darkness, all right? You know, children have a certain knowledge of God. They're born with it. They have a certain amount of light. Would you say amen to that? God has made himself clear in some ways to us, all of us, even through the creation itself, the Bible says. But the thing is, this is where the problem is when people hear truth and they reject it, then they become darkened. They become alienated, all right? When you and I were born, we had a certain understanding of God, a certain amount of light. It doesn't mean that we were saved. It just means that we had a certain understanding of right and wrong. I got into an argument one time. I try not to argue, but this brother wanted to argue about, well, children didn't know murder was wrong unless they get taught it's not right. Just leave that one alone. I said, no. There's certain things that people know. They just know. You don't do that. It's like the girl that got caught shoplifting. They had it on the news. Well, I didn't know it was wrong. Okay. Oh, well, let her off then. Let her go. But the darker people become in their souls, the blinder they become. Darkness and blindness. So the more a man resists the truth, the darker he becomes. That's why, guys, it's very important that when we hear the word of God, that we embrace it, that we treasure it, that, as David said, we hide it in our hearts. Amen? You're going to hide in your heart what you treasure. Because what you don't want to do is resist or reject the truth. Because the result of rejecting truth is basically rejecting Christ. And when you reject Christ, you become dark. Because he is the light. In Romans 1 and verse 21, it says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts. And what? Their foolish hearts were darkened. This is natural man. The more that a person resists the obvious and known truth, the darker they become. That's why as people grow without Christ, usually they become even more sinful as time goes on and more darkened as time goes on. Why? Because either there's a lack of truth, they've never known the truth, or when they've heard it, they have rejected it. And you know the Lord will not always strive with man. God gives us plenty of opportunity. God is gracious. He waits for people to respond. Amen. But there comes a time, as it was in the days of Noah, when God said, time is up. I've given you plenty of time, and you have resisted the truth. And comes the judgment. You know, we're going to give an answer, aren't we, someday? Everyone has their appointment with God. Are you ready to meet Jesus? Hallelujah. Have you got your heart right with God today? Are you at peace with the Lord today? You know, man's natural understanding, natural mind is capable of indescribable evil. If we allow our imagination to go, we can get into some really bad territory. Are you hearing me, somebody? And it doesn't matter who you are. Because of the fact that we have a knowledge of good and evil. That's our problem. What we need is life. Amen? Life is only in Christ. So we have to guard our thoughts. We have to guard our minds. We have to put a stop notice on any thought that does not agree or line up with the truth. Amen. And so that's why we need to study the word. That's why we need to pray that we can be wise. Amen. That our eyes can be opened and we can see and discern what is true and what is false. There's a lot of confusion today. The devil wants to normalize evil. He's calling good evil and evil good today. There's all kinds of gender confusion today. Abortion, normalizing things that years ago they would have said, what? Are you hearing me? They're trying to normalize things that God says are evil. It's not my opinion. It's what God says. Amen. There is a way that seems right unto a man. And so people will surround themselves with people that think like they do. Because they don't want to be challenged by reality. They don't want to be challenged by the truth because they love the darkness. And Jesus said, this is the condemnation. That light has come into the world, but the men love the darkness rather than the light, and they don't come into the light lest their deeds be exposed. But those who are of the truth will come to the light. They will come to Christ, amen, with a humble heart and say, Lord, forgive me. I'm a sinner. I need your mercy. I need your forgiveness. I can't know truth unless you reveal it to me. I want to know you. I'm always praying, Lord, I want to know you better. I want to know you more. truth is miraculously revealed. Doesn't matter how smart you are. The simplest individual can understand truth if the Holy Spirit reveals it to him. How many know God's not a respecter of persons? God doesn't like you more because you're smart or good looking. Man, God is not willing that anyone should perish. God wants all people to be saved, come to a knowledge of the truth. Who is the truth? Jesus Christ is the truth. Paul said that some people will be highly educated, but completely blind to the truth. Boy, are we seeing that. In our government, some of the people that are being appointed, it's just stunning. And they've been to some of the top universities. 2 Timothy 3:7 says, always learning and never able what? To come to the knowledge of the truth. You and I are incapable of knowing the truth, except that the truth be revealed by the Spirit of the Lord. And he will reveal himself to the ones who turn at his reproof, who are willing to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, who have a humble heart. God will give his grace to that one. Why? Because they're user-friendly. God wants to use you and me. God wants to impart truth to us. For some people, because they resist the truth, what happens is their hearts become calloused. The more that they resist the truth, the more callous they become. The more indifferent they become to truth, the darker their minds become. And the blinder they become because they refuse the truth when God was revealing it to them. We need to have a heart that says, Lord, I want to know the truth. I want to know you. I don't want to be wise in my own understanding. My own understanding gets me in trouble. I want to acknowledge the Lord in all my ways because he's smarter than I am. He's smarter than you too. Somebody say amen. Amen. He knows better, doesn't he? So when we are wise in our own understanding, we don't feel the need to acknowledge God in our decisions. We're just going to make him independent of God because maybe sometimes we're afraid God may disapprove of our decision. So we just go ahead and do it and not really inquire of the Lord because he may not agree with what I really feel that I want. And so when we come to God, once again, so often we're coming to God because we want something for us. But God wants to bring his church, his people, into a place where we want to pray what God wants, where we want to pray according to his will. Amen? What do you want, Lord? That's what I want. And God says, if you take care of my business, I'll take care of yours. If you put me first in your life, I'll take care of your business. I'll take care of your provision. Amen? You don't have to worry about those things. If I am first in your life, if you prioritize my will above your own will, then everything you have need of, I will add to you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's how it works, guys. Don't get the cart before the horse. Moses was raised up to deliver the people out of Egypt. And Moses, as you know, he spoke face to face with God. He had a personal relationship with the Lord. So God told him what to do and how to do it. Moses had to divorce himself from his own opinion as to how to deliver the people. He knew that if he did not obey carefully the instruction of the Lord, that he was going to be a failure. Are you hearing me today? The same thing is true today. You and I need to understand we need to listen carefully to the instruction of the Lord. Otherwise, we will become a failure. God doesn't want you to fail. He wants you to succeed according to his will for your life. Amen. But you have to be humble enough and willing enough to say, Lord, I'm willing to listen to you now. And if God has to allow you and I to fail over and over again until we finally get it, he'll do that. But it's always easier to say, yes, Lord. Amen. Remember Korah, Dathan, and Abiram? These are the guys that were Moses' critics. They were opposing him. You know, they were probably the cancel culture of that day. But Moses would not be detoured by those who opposed him, because he understood that he had his marching orders from the Lord, and he was going to be true to the Lord. Amen. Even when people were accusing him of actually doing the opposite of what God had promised, he's saying, you brought us out of a land that was flowing with milk and honey. That's basically what they're saying. They're calling evil good and good evil. They were reversing it and saying, now you're bringing us out to a desert place to die. I mean, I know that the desert place was God's plan, but his plan was transitional. It wasn't permanent. It was a passing through time, all right? It was a staging area before they went into the promise that God had for them up ahead. But the people started to complain, and they started to accuse Moses of bringing them out of a land flowing. How quickly we can forget how ugly the world is, how ugly the devil is. And as soon as you face a new test, a place you've never been before, the temptation is, well, why don't I just go back to a place that I'm comfortable with? How many know a lot of people do that in their lives? They go back to what they're familiar with, even if it was a cesspool. I lived in this pit before. At least I know what to expect in the pit. It is. It's like a mentality, a slave mentality. God took him out of Egypt, amen, and he was taking them through that time in the wilderness, amen, to teach them how to rely on and listen to this, to his voice, to be led of the Spirit. Because God took him out to take him in to a promise. He wasn't going to leave him in there. But sometimes you find yourself, we find ourselves, don't we, in a desert place. We say, God, what is going on? Well, God has a promise for you, and God is going to develop you in the difficulty. God is going to condition you for what he has up ahead for you. Amen. God wants to know that you're not going to lose what he gives you, but he has to prepare you for what you have, what he's promised you. So these guys were sarcastic, and they're complaining. Well, you took us out of a land flowing with milk and honey. This is so many words. I'm adding this. And now you're taking us to a place that is, you know, not flowing with milk and honey. The devil loves to keep people in bondage. He wants people to be bound. He wants you to be bound. He wants God's people to stay bound. He doesn't want God's people coming out of bondage and walking in the glorious freedom that is in Christ. So he uses disinformation. Oh, that's a new one today. Let's not go there. But that's what he does. He uses lies. He uses deception to convince people that where they were was better than what God has for them. And that's why sometimes people begin to do well. They begin to start off right, but somehow they got detoured. They got distracted. They got derailed because of the lies of the enemy. And they begin to listen to the wrong voice. And that wrong voice will always try to convince you to go back to where you were. Just go back to the world. It was easier in the world. How many know that if you want to be something, you have to go through something. You have to go through some trials. You have to go through some difficulties. God wants to bring us into a place where we are steady, where we are steadfast, where we are secure in him. Amen. Where we will not be shaken. We will not be moved. Amen. That our foundation is deep into Christ, that we know our God. We know his faithfulness. We know that he's trustworthy. Amen. And we know that God's going to see us through every situation that we face, that God himself has promised to never leave me nor forsake me. And he said, and when you go through the waters, I will what? Be with you. That's what we need to know, is that God is with me. God is for me. And if God be for me, who can be against me? I want to know your situation is not too big for God. God doesn't always change our situation to accommodate what we think it should be, because God knows what we need. He knows what kind of discipline we need, what kind of training we need, all right, to become who he wants us to be. So we need to trust that the Lord is at work in our lives, even in all the things that happen along the way. Well, if you hang around with people who don't believe the way you do, well, you're setting yourself up for a fall. You need to be careful about who you hang out with. I'm not saying that you separate yourself from people of the world completely. We can't do that. What I am saying is that we need to be careful about our relationships. We need to choose our friends carefully. We need to choose friends that are going to help us up and not tear us down. If you have a friend that you're able to influence for Christ, hang on to that relationship, amen, and lead them to the Lord. Hallelujah. But if you feel that that friend is dragging you down and away from the Lord, let it go. It ain't worth it. Amen? I can tell you story after story, including in my younger life as well, of times when people have been shipwrecked because of relationships that were not ordained of God. They got involved in the relationship that God didn't ordain. And I'm not talking to anybody here today, by the way. And I'm not talking about someone who's already married. Come on, somebody. Amen. Oh, the pastor told me I can get rid of you. No, I'm not saying that. But the enemy was saying, basically, that where you were, the life you lived, is better than where you are now. Has anybody ever been tempted that way before? So don't hang too tight with people who don't believe what you believe, and the way you believe too. If they're going to oppose the will of God in your life, separate yourself. You know what God had to do to these three? Korah, Dathan, right, and Abiram? He did a separation, and he brought judgment upon them. And those who that followed him, God destroyed them. Because they were going to be a scourge. They were going to hinder the will of God for the rest who were believers. So God is saying, be careful with your relationships. Pray about it. I've seen so many people that have been doing well. They've been walking with the Lord. They're faithful. You know, they're really growing in their new experience in Jesus. And then a relationship, a new relationship. And where are they today? Whenever we attempt to build our lives on that which we think is best and not on what God says, we're building our lives in sand. And eventually it will come to nothing. And Luke 6:47, whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He's like a man building a house who dug what deep, laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood came, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. There's a quote by a man named Gary Whetstone. It says this: if we do not stay on his path, everything we are standing for will be lost. Even, listen, if we believe it is for him, from him, or about him. I'll read it again. If we do not stay on his path, everything we are standing for will be lost. Even if we believe it is for him, from him, or about him. In other words, there is a way that seems right unto a man, even when it comes to doing the things of God. We talked about in Sunday school this morning. There is a will of God. There was a way that they were to carry the ark of the covenant. Amen. And they were presumptuous about that. In other words, I can do a lot of good things, but they wouldn't be right things. I can spend my life doing service, but if it's not God's will for me, it's all in vain. Are you understanding? What we need is to draw near to God, We need to have such an acquaintance with the Lord that we know His voice. We know what He's saying. We know what He's showing us to do. Amen. And what He reveals to us by His Spirit, that's what we do. And whatever you do in obedience to the Lord, to His voice, it was already blessed. It will bear fruit. It will remain. It will last. Come on, somebody. Because a lot of times we have good ideas, but they're not God's ideas. Well, I think I'll serve the Lord this way. Well, how has God designed you? What did God place you in your heart? What kind of giftings do you have? That's what you need to discover, who you are in Christ, who He is in you. And then do the thing that God has showed you to do. Amen. And you'll be successful. Why? Because God always blesses His will. It's already blessed. And that's why you got people that are doing so many good things and yet they're miserable in the good thing. There's no life in a work that is not ordained of God. It's called a dead work. It may be a good thing, but if it's not God's will, it's a dead work. Get out of it. Amen. Find out what God has called you to do and do that. And in that you will be satisfied. In that you will have delight. You will actually find pleasure in the will of God. There's joy in His presence. God will be where He told you to be, and God will be where He told you to be and what He tells you to say. Amen. And what He shows you to do. He's going to be in that. I'm going to finish with this. Did I say that? I have three shots at that, right? I'm going to finish with this. Jesus said, once again, my sheep, what? Hear my voice. Do you know the Lord's voice today? Can you discern His voice today? Guys, when we talk about seeking, I talked about last week, seeking the face of God, it means you're getting into the place where the breath of God is literally on your face. Amen? When you're intimate with God, when you get close to God, you're going to know the heart and the will of God. But you have to seek Him. You have to draw near to Him and He will draw near to you. Amen. People are hoping, I'll just come on Sunday morning, I'll get a little bit more information. You got to know God's voice for yourself. How do you know what I'm telling you is true? You need the discernment that the Holy Spirit will give you. Amen. And you need to have a good foundation in the Word. And so it's important that we draw near to God, because if you draw near to God, then He will begin to reveal to you His will. You'll know it. You'll know, as we say in your knower, that that was God. Whenever we step outside of the Word of God, we step into death. Outside of the Word of God is death. Hear me. And understand that the devil knows how to quote the Word. But the words Jesus said, I speak unto you, are spirit and they are life. There's a quickening that comes by the voice of God. Outside of the Word of God is death. When Adam and Eve sinned, they stepped outside of the Word of God. They disobeyed the voice of God, and death resulted. Do you want to live a life of safety in the Spirit? Abide in the Word. Amen. Stay in the Word, which is the will of God. Don't go outside of the Word of God. There's all kinds of people out there with new revelations. Be careful about new revelations, amen? Because God's Word is eternal. God's Word is forever settled in heaven, amen? And what God spoke before, He's speaking now, amen? And if you can know what God's will is and God's ways are, then you'll know if you hear something, it's a rogue word. Even if it's Scripture being quoted, you'll know the spirit of that one that's speaking is not of God. Someone once said, man stepped outside of God's Word and died. Jesus, the Word of God, stepped outside of Himself into mankind to redeem us back into Himself again. God wants you and I to be a voice to this generation. In order to be a voice to this generation, we need to know His voice. Amen. God, we just thank You so much for each one that's here today. Holy Spirit, I thank you for the help that you give me. Lord, I don't know what to say, but you're the truth, and I rely upon you for wisdom, for the what to say, the words to speak. God, I ask you, Lord, just to wake us up inside. Lord, I ask you to revive your people. Lord, I pray that America will awaken. God, I pray that you would sovereignly move in this nation, that you'd pour out your spirit once again on this land. God, I ask you to forgive our sin and heal our land. Lord, turn this nation and turn your people back to you in this land, Father God. Wake us up, Lord. Wake us up. Have mercy on us, Lord. Heal our land. In Jesus' name. Praise you. Hallelujah.